This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me, my heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise, and from
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And thou shalt renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise. Never rejoice in his consolation for the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady Fatima.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Father and Son, Lord. We welcome you to the Ignatian Forum, and we're here with our celebrities, you know, Eric Files and Mary Martirana. And with that winning smile behind your mask, right? It's a winning smile, yeah. We've had...
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you can.
Do you know, and does our family know, there is a new movie on Fatima coming out? I saw the trailer last night. It looks magnificent. It's coming out like August 26th, and it says, in the theater or at home. So, Eric, I want you to look up some way at home what those choices are to get it at home. Maybe you could help figure that out. Anyway, it says you can have it at home.
Watch it, live streaming it.
At home or in the theater.
Great.
Okay, just sort of
We have notified them probably by Monday once we come back. Well, Eric and Mary, we've had a busy week. We had my sister Mary and Matt who came on Monday, and they're talking about the importance of natural family planning. And they gave a succinct summary of the encyclical of Pope Paul VI, Humanae Vitae. The whole thrust of that was that human sexuality has a purpose, a plan, a time, and a manner in which it should be lived out. And Pope Paul VI said that any type of contraception is intrinsically disordered. We talked about that. Then we talked with my brother, Dr. Mike Broom, a wonderful conversation in which science and faith do not contradict each other, but they really complement each other. So that science and reason, they never contradict faith, but rather faith transcends reason. Meaning that reason and science can only take you to a certain point. Then you go into the realm of the transcendental, the mystery of God himself. And who can understand the mind of God, which is the second reading for tomorrow's Mass for St. Paul to the Romans. Who can understand the mind of God except God himself? Mm-hmm. Then we had, and my brother Michael also explains that most schools, starting with probably elementary school, middle school, and colleges, they take it for as a dogmatic fact that evolution is just true. And my brother Mike, having read the book by Denton as the author, and having done pretty extensive study, he pointed out about four or five fallacies in the theory. Okay, the word theory means it's an opinion of evolution. I've said in some of my talks that one word of truth is worth more than a million opinions, no? Opinions are opinions, no? So we had a wonderful conversation with him, hoping that we'll get him back again, talking on other topics. Another thing that we could do with him is he's a very prolific, voracious reader. And he really likes to read spiritual books. He likes Ignatius Press. One of the books that he really loves is that of Joan of Arc by Mark Twain, which Father Larry's reading right now. So we could even have him back and maybe talk about some topic of literature or a saint or some book that would be of interest to our live stream family. Then, you know, part of our live stream family are the saints. I'm trying to insist upon that in my talks in the morning, is that our family goes way beyond the earthly family, but we're part of the mystical body of Christ. And part of the mystical body of Christ would be the saints in heaven. It's called the Church Triumphant. So we're able to celebrate St. John Hughes, who was the harbinger or the precursor of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. He came about 100 years before her, and he promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And he founded a congregation, the Heart of Jesus and Mary, another one to try to restore wayward woman to the path. One thing that he said, I like one-liners. Mm-hmm. He said, we would have to have three eternities. Three eternities for the Mass. To prepare for the Mass, to give thanksgiving for the Mass, and to celebrate the Mass. Do you like that, Mary?
Yes, very much.
We'd have to have three eternities to prepare for the Mass. One Mass. To celebrate one Mass, and to give thanksgiving for one Mass. That's why John the Cross, when he heard that a young man died after celebrating one Mass, he said he's going to have to really give an account to God for that one Mass. Mm-hmm. What about us that go to communion on a daily basis? We have to be careful, right? Mm-hmm. Not to fall into the routine. Mm-hmm. The Argentinians call la maldita rutina, the damned habit. That's tough language, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Hopefully I haven't scandalized our listeners, no? But we shouldn't take the Lord for granted. Then, Eric, we celebrated the mellifluous doctor. You know what that means? It means honey mouth. And his name is Saint Bernard, which means the valiant fighter, if you go to the Latin. And Saint Bernard, among the many contributions to the church, he was known as the greatest man of the 12th century, rather. He wrote a poem which is Stella Maris. You know what that means? Stella Maris, the star of the sea. In the midst of the storms of life, he compares us to being in a ship in the midst of a storm. We have to lift up our gaze to the star of the sea. That star of the sea will help us safely to the port. In the midst of the storms, the tempest, the tumultuous tides that we have to overcome in our spiritual life, we have to look up at the Stella Maris. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Eric, we celebrated one of your favorite saints, and his name was Pope Pius X. And among the many contributions, didn't have enough time to mention this, is that he was a catechist. As a priest, he was a catechist. As a bishop, he was a catechist. Even in the hall of St. Damasus, he would teach a catechism lesson every week, being pope. Now that we make reference to catechists, I consider myself as a preacher, a teacher, and a catechist. There are two universal catechisms. The Catechism of the Council of Trent in the 16th century, The Catechism of John Paul II, which came out in 1992 in French and in English in 1994, 2 years later. The English translation took another 2 years. No? But did you know this? That Pius X wrote a catechism. It was a local catechism, but it became a universal catechism. And it's written like the catechism, the Baltimore Catechism. Mm-hmm. Question and answer. Mm-hmm. One of the one-liners of Pope Pius X that I used in my homily yesterday was this. How can we expect anyone to live the faith if they don't know the faith?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Impossible.
I repeat, how can you expect anyone to live the faith if they don't know the faith? So he insists that many sins are committed because of ignorance. He lived in a time where there was a lot of questions about the doctrine. He wrote what is called Lamentabile Sane. Were you reading that last night, Mary?
No.
Okay. Lamentabile Sane, which was his document against modernism, which he highlighted about 75 of the chief errors they were trying to insinuate themselves into. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy. Okay? Orthodoxy. And he was just staunch defender of the church. We have to have orthodox teaching. You know, if you call me, Eric, a conservative, that's pejorative. Don't do it. You want to call me orthodox?
Okay.
Orthodox means truth. That's what it means. But don't call me a conservative. I'm not a archaic fossil of the Middle Ages, Mary. No. I'm trying to live in the present moment, be open to the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit, but always faithful to the magisterium of the church. So that's kind of, Eric, that's kind of a succinct summary of what we've done this whole week. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, very good.
I thought I would be able to summarize, and maybe on Saturday it's good to something just summarize our harvest that we've had with our guests in this week. But today, Eric and Mary, it's one of your favorite days, I think. I hope it is. Because today we celebrate a Marian feast day. Yes, Saturday we celebrate the Assumption. So it took the angels and the saints about a week to prepare for this feast. They think they're kind of preparing the decorations
and
maybe the choirs of angels or the choirs of angels, they're practicing their songs, they think. The choirs of angels practicing their songs. No
so.
Pun intended?
I think so.
So today we celebrate, my friends, the coronation, the crowning of Mary. I love this feast day. It's the fifth glorious mystery. Did you know that?
Yep.
So it's the crowning of all the 20 mysteries, the crowning of Mary.
Yes.
And we have a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Fatima right here,
yes,
with her crown on the head. It's a beautiful celebration. I just finished a wedding about 45 minutes ago, and I told them that this is a beautiful day to celebrate your wedding because you're giving yourself to, you're giving yourself to, Mary's crowning your marriage with her blessing. What do you think?
Beautiful.
I think it's a great day to be married, no? I think that this would be a better day than to be married on February 30th. I don't think that'd be... Okay, I think you would agree with me, right?
That would be a single person.
You know, Eric, I've often thought about this. Philip Mary, he's got a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd walk around with a joke book and the Bible in his pockets.
Mm-hmm.
He might do this. Talk to the Lord when I die. And Father, well, he's a pretty good guy. And maybe get the Pope to canonize him. But make sure when Father Wim was canonized, make sure that he's canonized on the day that he was born. If you don't know, I was born on February 29th. So that means my feast day would occur, usually in Lent, every 4 years. When it did occur, we'd probably be falling in Lent, so it would never occur on the church calendar anyway. No? Maybe once in 100 years, and that day people would probably be yawning anyway, right? Maybe even behind their masks. Huh? So the crowning of Mary, Mr. Eric Files, if we can call you that, is it an important day for you? Is there any meaning in this for you as well as Mary? I hope so.
Well, of course, we've consecrated ourselves to Jesus through her, and we happen to be in the presence of an oblate of the Virgin Mary.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's a very big day today. Nonetheless, even if all those things weren't present, she's our mother. And how amazing is it that my mother is a queen of heaven and earth?
Wow.
That's a powerful mom.
Yes.
That is a powerful mother. And, you know, there's just, I don't think we can have too many Marian feast days.
No.
And we really do have to, to rely on her, not just daily, but several times every day. Mm-hmm. I love that prayer, Ave Maria Stella. That's one of my favorite prayers. I haven't memorized the whole thing yet, but, it is one of the most beautiful prayers. The first time I ever saw that was in the consecration book of St. Louis de Montfort. That was one of the prayers for total consecration to Jesus through Mary through St. Louis de Montfort. And I would look forward to that every day when I went through my prayers for the consecration, and I still do. And it's just one of the things that I like the best. But the fact that Mary is the queen, there's another beautiful prayer that we say several times every day, which is the Hail Holy Queen. Mm. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, I believe, wrote a book about that prayer, didn't he? It's the Glories of Mary, and there's a lot to say about that. So I think we have a bit to talk about today, don't we?
Yes, yes. It's a really good introduction, very succinct and to the point, very much so, yeah.
Father, there's one other thing I wanted to say about your summary with Dr. Mike Broom.
Yes.
The whole idea about science not being contradictory to faith, but it's, one of the great things about his presentation was he pointed out some things about the theory of evolution that are really not even true. They're far off the mark, and we know that now. And one of the first things he talked about was the complexity of a single cell, and what the technology that he had to be able to see it maybe just under an optical microscope versus what we're able to learn and glean from it now with these high-powered microscopes, electron. I mean, they had electron microscopes when I was in school. There's probably something more powerful now, but the point that you made, Father, is that they don't contradict each other, but it's authentic science and orthodox religion or orthodox faith. They both have to be true. So there's a difference, between just a theory and a bad theory sometimes, parts of a theory that are flawed, but true science and true religion will never contradict each other. That's one of the things that I kind of learned. It's a simple conclusion.
Yes. Yeah, just finishing up on that, we'll give Mary the microphone. Among the many things that really impressed me by his presentation, and he wanted to talk for a good half hour, I wasn't expecting that. I thought he would probably like us just to question him, but he had a lot of things prepared and very well documented, citing Lemaître and Einstein and so many really good sources, no? And Hubble, the Hubble microscope, is I'm impressed by the fact that obviously, and I say God, has endowed him with a very keen mind. No one can doubt that, no? You can't doubt it. However, the fact that he, through his years, and if you're a father of six kids and you've got, you're a back surgeon and you're a EE teacher, the postgraduate students, no, he does that. Mm-hmm. In time, he's 65, a little bit younger than you. In time, he's always made a concerted effort to study, to read. And I say this to our live stream family, probably many of you are readers too, but I'm becoming more and more aware the young generation that are maybe 30 and younger, sometimes I ask them, do you like to read? No. How old are you? I'm in my mid-20s. Have you ever read a spiritual book? How old are you? 25? No, I've never read a spiritual book. And not to downplay the importance of the social media, we're actually using it right now. But I think there's something to say about just sitting down and reading a good book. Obviously, there's no way he could have presented that scholarly presentation that could have been presented in, I think, UPenn, Harvard, anywhere, and he gotten an A+, without having really studied, organized, and what Father Larry said is very clear the way he presented himself, even though it was very intellectual with a lot of statistics and a lot of mathematics, is very clear. Mm-hmm. And I think Mary and Eric on the Day of Judgment, it could be that one of our biggest regrets is that we did not make a concerted effort to cultivate our mind. St. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. You know, a wasted, fallow mind, I think, is a tragedy. But utilizing your mind, say if you've just got an average mind, okay, well, cultivate your average mind to the max. But if you've got a good mind, and I sometimes, you know, I've dealt with teenage boys, teaching them confirmation for many years. Sometimes I've asked them to read some of the text, and they're tripping over monosyllabic words, mm-hmm. and they're 15, and it casts me into desolation. Mm-hmm. It casts me into desolation, because I think, what future has this 15-year-old boy if he can barely pronounce cat or dog, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not being sarcastic in the sense that he can barely read the most simple words. And it's not that he's lacking in intelligence, but the parents do not insist that he overcome the laziness, that he learn the art of reading. I tell you, if both of you like to read, if you fall in love with reading, it's huge, right? I say some of my best friends are my books. My best friends are my books. Because by having a good book, a good source, I'm filling my mind with the truth. Then when I get up, I can talk, preach, and teach. Mm-hmm. And the truth will set us free.
Mm-hmm. You can share it, too.
And you can share it, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't hope we're not going off on a tangent, but you can say whatever you want, Mary, whatever occurs to you, but we're talking about Mary's queenship today. We're kind of finishing up on this, a summary of what we did this week, which is a great week. Mm-hmm. We hope to have some of these guests back with us in the near future. And we're going to be enriching our program by inviting more and more guests. This is going to be turning into a top-notch panel discussion, really. You know, I think we're growing by leaps and bounds, and we only started about 3.5 months ago. It's just a relatively new group. Not that any of us are professional, you know, celebrities. I'm kind of being a little bit facetious, both of you, but you are celebrities in the sense that you're trying to promote God's kingdom, and that's superb. Well, Mary, we've kind of thrown a lot out of you. I'd like to offer the microphone to you and a couple of words of wisdom, and if you have more than a couple.
I have a couple of things. One, I'll just comment on the reading books, is that one of the studies on senility, people getting older and getting senility, is related to lack of utilizing their mind. It's like an atrophy of the mind. It's like you don't exercise, your muscles atrophy.
Sorry, I don't understand what you're talking. Could you repeat that?
You're only 16.
I couldn't resist that, Mary. I couldn't resist that, Mary.
One of the ways they say is really good is crossword puzzles. But
well, my dad would always do that. Yeah.
But reading is really important.
Yes.
It keeps the mind active, and if we don't use it, then we lose it. And it really is true. It really is true. And so that's just a comment on supporting reading and even crossword puzzles. You learn words, you learn language, and you know hopefully you also read. But so I'll go to the Queenship of Mary.
Yes.
I had a couple of thoughts. I was meditating upon Mary, and how she was born without original sin. She was preserved mm-hmm. from original sin because of the high calling that God was giving her
yes.
to carry the Messiah within her. And I realized that Mary was born without original sin. She's just starting at that point. She's who all of us were supposed to be. That's what we looked like before the sin of Adam and Eve. That's what we looked like. That perfection of body, mind, and soul, totally in tune with God and God's will and God's desires, totally, the human person totally mature physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and whole. And it made me really sad to think that's what we lost. That's what we lost. That's who we were meant to be from that, just that point.
Called the preternatural state.
The preternatural state.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I thought, but then, and of course, Augustine, I think, oh, happy fall.
Yes.
Because if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, we wouldn't have a Savior. Okay, we wouldn't have a Savior. And then, and if we don't have a Savior, we don't have a mother either. We gained a Savior and a mother, Queen of Heaven and Earth. So mm-hmm. what we gained is far greater than anything that we would have started with, no matter how great that was. So
and a queen, and a queen too,
and
right?
A queen and a mother, and yes, and so you know, that's where Augustine Aquinas say, and I keep going back to this in my life because I need it when trials come. Is God not only God allows evil to bring a greater good, not just to bring good, to bring a greater good that wouldn't exist without the evil, to when we will look back at the evil and even thank God for the evil. We'll even be able to thank him for the evil because the greater good is so much greater.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much greater to have a Savior and to have a queen and a mother and to have Mary. So I had other things to share, but that's enough for now.
Sure. Well, Eric, the crowning, the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she is the daughter of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. She's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's the queen of the angels, the archangels, the virtues, the powers, the dominions, the principalities, the cherubim, the seraphim. She's the queen of the martyrs, queen of virgins. She's queen of the doctors of the church. She's queen of the confessors. She's the queen of all hearts. She's the universal queen. Isn't that glorious, Eric, just to think about Mary's? In Orlando, Florida, they've got a shrine that I visit once or twice because my brother Mike actually lives in Orlando. It's Mary, Queen of the Universe. It's It's a Marian shrine that I visited maybe once or twice, not too far from Disney and my brother Mike's, Dr. Mike's house. So I don't know about Mary and Eric, but just the thought of Mary's queenship, it gives me a lot of consolation. Eric, does it say anything to you? Does it give you consolation or maybe not? I don't know. Hopefully it does.
Yes, Father, it does. And I said it. I already said it earlier about this. She's the queen of heaven and earth, and she's my mom.
Good.
She's my mother. But, you know, it's something to reflect on every day. And when we pray that prayer, Hail Holy Queen,
yes.
I mean, it's in our mind, you know, all the time. And it's something that you can contemplate. And to me, I think it's just the power of the love that she has for us, because she stood at the foot of the cross on Calvary, and she was offering up her son to God the Father for me. She suffered all that, and she knew that she was suffering, and she knows that she suffered that, not just for us generally, but for us individually as well. I mean, you look at that, the whole scene at Calvary, and Jesus and Mary together, she's the queen of martyrs. So mm-hmm. She's the queen of martyrs, and next to her son, I would imagine no other human being suffered as much as she did. But the suffering was for me. And so that has to be consoling, and we can't waste that. We can't waste that. And she has made herself known to us, especially in the last 200 years with the apparitions. We spent a lot of time talking about Our Lady of Fatima and looking at what she came. She continues. And when she was assumed into heaven, she became more powerful for us, not less, and more efficacious for us. And so what we can do, that's why it's so important to use her as a channel, because she's the channel of all graces. All of the graces that come from God come through her. So, and that's the beautiful thing. I was listening to In Conversation with God, and they said that that when it was Pope Pius XII in 1954, I was 1 year old when he declared her. I don't quite remember that. When I was 1 year old, mm-hmm. But he invited all Christians to come to her and to go to her for her intercession. He didn't say Catholics, he said all Christians, so that would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Years ago, probably it was 1984, 85, I was studying in Rome to be a priest. And when we were clerics, which means we had made our vows and we were studying theology, our formator insisted that as clerics we study, of course, our prayer life and this stuff, but he wanted us to do some type of apostolate, which I always enjoyed. And one of the apostolic works that we carried out, this was in the city of Rome. We had our parish, St. Helena, St. Helena on the Casalino, was to help out the missionaries of charity. They had house of formation on the Via Casalino, but then near what's called the Stazione Termine, which would be the railway station, they had a house for the poor. And it was basically homeless men. So we would go there, we'd go in two of the clerics would go. No? So it's not just the Jehovah Witnesses, but we would go in two also. And the Lord sent them out in two, right? And I remember on occasion, when I would be walking with my companion, he was a man who was about my age, but he was 1 year ahead of me in formation. His name was Anton Retellis, and he's been in our house in Austria for about 35 years. So he was sent right away, and he's been there for, we have houses in Loretto, where we have a Marian sanctuary, and in Wien, if you know German. If you know German, Wien would be Vienna for the German. So we'd be praying the rosary, and he made this commentary on the fifth glorious mystery. This would be about 35 years. I never forgot. He said, do you remember when Christopher Columbus went to Queen Isabel with the intention to sail to the New World, namely the Americas? Mm-hmm. He said that you have to provide transportation. You got to give me ships. So at the drop of the hat, she gave Christopher Columbus the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. We, our age, remember those names, right? The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Santa Maria would be in honor of Mary. Mm-hmm. The flagship would be honored, a way in which Mary was being honored. Mm-hmm. But what my friend said was this. If by Christopher Columbus requesting this powerful queen for these three ships, she gave them to him just like that. Think about Mary. Mary is the queen of heaven and earth. Mary is the queen of the angels. She's the queen of the martyrs. She's the queen of virgins. She's the queen beauty of Carmel for the Carmelites. She's the queen of the Holy Rosary. She's the queen sitting next to the king. How much more could the queen of heaven and earth give to us if we ask her? Yes. I like that. Mary, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, and I mean, what you say is true, and we know that even the Son, of course, her Son, even the Father and the Holy Spirit, they can deny Mary nothing. They can deny Mary nothing. And she always longs to and loves to beseech on our behalf for our needs and our crosses and our joys and sorrows, just to be, she's aware of all of that, and she was there to help us in any way that she can. And she, just seeing the most loving mother you've ever known, and she's a million times more in terms of caring for us, and the slightest thing that is in our heart and in our thoughts, she knows, and she wants to help us.
So true. Eric, you mentioned the spiritual classic of Saint Alfonso Liguori, which is the Glories of Mary. Then at the end of my Mass, usually every morning, I like to sing the Hail Holy Queen. The prayer of the Hail Holy Queen, I love it. But there's a good chance that a lot of our live stream family do not know the origin of it. The origin of it comes from Blessed Herman the Cripple, Mary.
I always forget that name.
We should be able to remember that one.
Yeah, I forget.
I know.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
He was a religious that had a lot of, he was crippled, but his body was basically a disaster. But he had a very keen intellect. And he had a very deep prayer life. He's a Blessed Herman the Cripple. When he was almost on the brink of despair, when he was in a profound state of desolation, when he was like in a dark tunnel in which there seemed to be no exit, the Blessed Mother appeared to him and said, call out to me. When you call out to me, say, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness and our hope. My friends, we all go through dark tunnels, difficult times, cloudy days, where the wind and the waves seem to be battering against our skiff, as St. Bernard says in the Stella Maris. I think this story of Blessed Herman the Cripple applies to us today. And we should lift up our minds, our hearts, our voices to Mary and cry out, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Eric, what do you think?
We must. And I think when we look at the rules of discernment, and we look at this scenario that you painted with Blessed Herman, you know, we do have to fight against desolation, and you know, by adding prayer, and prayer to Mary is very important. So, you know, to me, I know that when I start going into desolation, sometimes I do have to really, you know, kind of force myself. That's tough sometimes to try to get motivated to say an extra prayer, but to pray another rosary, to pray another, maybe just a decade of the rosary, or even a Hail Mary or a Hail Holy Queen, how that can help start to lift us out of that fog, like you were saying. That, you know, there's a lot of people right now that are having difficulty with everything that's been going on. There's been not only the health impact of the COVID-19, but the economic impact. I was just reading an article earlier today about all these big businesses that are either closing their doors or having to shut down you know, different divisions or different retail outlets, big retail outlets that have been out there, and you know, people are losing their jobs, and you see this massive financial impact that I don't recall seeing anything like this. You know, I was in the corporate world for many years, but this has been something. And so all these things together, you know, a lot of that is what we would call, I talk about temporal or non-spiritual desolation, but that leads right into spiritual desolation. And so it's so important to think about that, you know, that prayer is going to the Hail Holy Queen or Stella Maris. You think of Star of the Ocean. It would have been nice when St. Peter started sinking into the water, if he could have visualized our Blessed Mother with the star, you know, shining on her son. And I love the ocean so much. That's a, you know, that's a great image for me.
Very much related to that, I made reference to this in my first talk at 7:30, is back about 1600, 420 years ago, there was a young man that was going through a profound desolation also because of Jansenism. And like Herman the Cripple, he was just lost a lot of weight. He couldn't sleep. He just he felt that he was going to be damned, actually. So he wandered in the church in Paris, in the church of Our Lady of Victory, knelt down, and he didn't pray the Hail Holy Queen, but he prayed the prayer attributed to St. Bernard, the Memorare. Remember, Most Gracious Virgin Mary. And it's this desolation evaporated. It dissipated. And he went on to become a priest, and then a bishop, then a writer, then a founder. He wrote thousands of letters, and that he wrote Introduction to the Devout Life. That was St. Francis of Sales. And he was an ardent promoter of praying the Memorare. So Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. But also, never was it known that anyone who turned to her protection was left unaided. Mary, would you agree with that?
It's interesting. That's an interesting question. It's interesting. You notice that she did not cure or procure a cure for Herman the Cripple. She didn't. And sometimes she knows with her son that our crosses are necessary for us. So one of the things about Mary is one of my prayer experiences, I was going through something with her, and she just leaned over to me and said, "You have to be strong." She didn't say God would take it away. She just said, "You have to be strong." So she's a mother who, like every good mother, knows what's best for us, and she wants us to have to be strong children walking in the way of truth and bearing whatever crosses come our way for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of our salvation, the sake of saving souls. I think it's very important to see Mary as she will always give us the good, the greatest good that will lead to our salvation and the salvation of many souls. That's what a good mother does. Sometimes she has to give you castor oil. Right? So, I think it's very interesting very important that we remember that, and that we can always go to her. She will always comfort us, console us, strengthen us. If she can help remove a cross, she will. Ask her son to remove a cross, she will. But she always wants us to be the best we can be and to save the most souls possible, our own and many others. And she'll always keep our eye on the prize, help us keep our eye on the prize.
It's a good point, because sometimes through the prayer of Mary, the cross can be lifted, could be. Or sometimes the cross that we have can be alleviated. But other times, as you're pointing out, sometimes Mary will say, "I'm not going to take away the cross, but I will invite my son to help you to carry the cross, like Simon the Cyrene. And as you and my son are carrying the cross, I'll walk side by side with you." Mm-hmm. So to give a simple, facile, somewhat sentimental escape from the cross, I don't think that's real. Rather, the cross is part and parcel of the Paschal mystery that our Lord willingly endured. But also he wants to share with us, as Paul says, share with Christ what is lacking, the passion of Christ. But, you know, not to deny, but share with Christ what is lacking in the passion of Christ. I've kind of battled with that passage over the years, but I'm understanding it more and more. And maybe the definition of what Venerable Fulton Sheen gives of the priest fills in the gaps. He, in his classic, Those Mysterious Priests, he has a chapter on identifying the priest with Christ as a victim. Then he gives a succinct definition of the priest, saying the priest is the victim who offers a victim. And no, Jesus himself could have avoided the cross. Mm-hmm. He could have sent myriad of angels, and they would have saved him. But he willingly accepted the cross. Mm-hmm. Fulton Sheen says when our Lord is about to suffer, it's almost like you're saying, "God the Father, do something to help his son." But the Father's voice is silent. Mm-hmm. Why? Out of love for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, God could have saved us by the most simple action, but he wanted to suffer so much to show us the price of our redemption, mm-hmm. and how grandiose and how great, how important every individual soul is. Mm-hmm. Eric, what do you think about what we're talking about, Eric?
Well, Mary, the point about that we have to be strong. My mom was a nurse, and there were times when I tried to get out of going to school. As much as you think I used to like to go to school, Father, there's some days when I probably didn't. When I would, if I had any, like, you know, if I had a fever or was had a little cough or something, I would go to her and tell her, you know, I can't go to school because of this. She goes, no, you're going to school. And so, you know, but she was tough. But our Blessed Mother, what better model for taking on suffering is there than Mary? There is no better model, because the title or the phrase "Stabat Mater," she was very strong through God's grace and what God had given her. There was no one closer to Jesus than her, and no one that experienced her passion more than she did. And so Jesus is a model for us, and so is his mother, a model for us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. And she did that all the way to Calvary, and that is exactly what your point, I think, is. We're being all called to do that, and sometimes part of what's best for us, you know, in the memorari, that no one was left unaided. Well, part of being aided is to help us carry our cross and to be strong through Christ and through his mother.
You know, if you're suffering by yourself, say for example, you're in a hospital room, even with COVID, and you're there for a day, 2 days, 3 days, and no one comes to visit you, I think that'd be very difficult. Mm-hmm. And there are people that actually do suffer that, and we have to pray for them. Mm-hmm. But if sitting next to you, you've got someone that shows you compassion, concern, that's why like the visit of a priest that gives you the anointing of the sick and the Eucharist, says some prayers for you. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, that gives a lot of consolation to people.
Absolutely.
Mary, isn't it beautiful that we can pray that when we're on our deathbed, we can pray that the Blessed Virgin Mary, as she stood at the foot of the cross with Jesus, the Stabat Mater, she stood at the foot of the cross. And she was not wailing or swooning, but she was a strong woman, mm-hmm. standing at the foot of the cross. She was strong. Mm-hmm. She asked you to be strong, but she was even stronger. Maybe asking to imitate her strength. Mm-hmm. She was a valiant woman.
Absolutely.
But doesn't that give you consolation that you really trust that when you're passing from this life to the next, that don't you trust that the Blessed Mother will be there for you? What do you think?
I think I told you, I told her, Mother, take me by the hand, teach me your virtues, and lead me to heaven. And I imagined her holding my hand in my death. And I imagined her holding my hand before Jesus. You know, I know you say we're going to be before Jesus as judged by ourselves, but I don't think I am. I've asked her to take my hand and lead me to heaven, and I think she's going to be holding my hand. And I say, who would be afraid of standing in front of Jesus as judge holding the hand of his mother? You know, I really believe that. But there's something else here that I think... that it's encouraging to note, it's that we have a God who, there's no other God like this ever been imagined by in all the history of humanity. A God that says, you are my family, you're part of my family. We are part of the family of the Blessed Trinity. God said, you are my, to me, you are, Jesus said, you are my child. The man on the street's my child. Mary is our mother. We're her child. We are children of God, and we share in the family. Sometimes I kind of teasingly say we share in the family business. What do children do? They carry on the family business. They share in the family business. And what is the family business? It's giving birth. That's why you don't abort. You give life. What does God do? He gives life. You give birth. You give life. We participate in the act of giving life. God won't create new human beings without our participation. Well, guess what? He could save souls without us, but he won't. souls will only be saved through our collaboration. Our Lady of Fatima told the children, souls are going to hell because there's no one to pray for them or suffer for them. They won't be born without human collaboration. New souls won't be created and human beings born without our collaboration. Souls won't be saved, that's what Our Lady Fatima said, without our collaboration of suffering. Why? But this is why. Because we're part of the family. That's our family. That's our family. God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Blessed Mother, they're our family. We are family with them. And that's why everyone is our family. We don't want any family members lost. Who would ever think of a God like that? Who would ever create a God like that in their mind and in their literature? No one. Only God could come up with that. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing mother we have. No.
The fact that he could have chosen to come into the world, kind of like the Quran, just opening up the skies and falling down, it could have been that way. But what you're saying is that our God purposely decided to come into the world as a man, as a little baby. And as Ignatius says, who's afraid of a little baby? You know? And he could have come in the world without a mother. He could have chosen to do it that because God is God. But he chose to come in the world through the same channel by which we were.
A human family.
Exactly, through a human family, Jesus and Mary and Joseph. So, and I think that that's the point that we're trying to make here, is this form that we have is basically a family of the three of us, but also those who are viewing it, they're part of our family. But we have to go beyond that because our family is also heaven.
It's heaven. Yeah.
And that's the whole idea of the Hail Holy Queen. And the Mary's queenship is very much related to heaven. My talks this morning basically spoke about heaven. It's a virtue of hope that Mary's in heaven, not less active, but she's even more active now that she's in heaven as queen and mother. What do you think, Eric? Would you agree with that?
She is the queen of the entire church. Like you said, in heaven, the church triumphant, the church militant, but also the church suffering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the also in conversation with God. She's the queen of the souls, the holy souls that are in purgatory. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing about our involvement is we can help those souls mm-hmm. get to heaven.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, this whole thing is we are all family and we all have to participate and we all have to do our part. And we have to rely on Jesus and Mary, but we also have to, through the grace that comes from God through her, we have to be strong and we have to work. Mm-hmm. We have to fight mm-hmm. the church militant.
Mm-hmm. The other day I was listening to the conversation with God. I don't remember the specific topic, but they're quoting St. John Chrysostom, who was very eloquent. And he said, who's the more valiant soldier? The soldier who went to the battlefield and he never lost, or the soldier that played AWOL and he ran away, but he came back and he fought three times as hard and was wounded and he got up and he fought even harder. St. John Chrysostom says, that's the more valiant soldier. We do fall, but it has to be the Nunc Chepi. The Nunc Chepi means we have to get up. So my prayer today, when I celebrate the 4 o'clock Mass and 6 o'clock Mass, I'll be praying for all of you people as well as for Mary and Eric. And my prayer will be this, that after we fought the good fight, after we've won the good race, that all of us, including both of you, you will all one day be a pearl, a jewel, a diamond that's embedded in the crown of Mary, so that you'll be able to contemplate the beauty of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.